Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Chof Tet. And we're in the middle of another fascinating sugya, which again, on the surface, doesn't seem to be all that related to Nedarim, but we will see that it actually works into not only Nedarim as a whole, but into this parak, as we started talking about yesterday. And what we were referring to was an interesting case where somebody has makes something Kodesh, and now the question is there a way that they could continue to be automatically Kodesh? So the Mishnah says, if he says, then they would be automatically re-mitkadesh in the event that you would go ahead and be poda them. But then we had this unclear issue. What happens after the netiot are indeed cut down? So do they get a final pidyon? And do they just simply become not Kodesh? Because he said they should only be Kodesh. And that was what we had begun speaking about yesterday, which brought us to the top of Chof Ches, into the machlokas between Ula and Bar Poda, but I'd like to just supply a little bit of some missing information, which is a different approach that some of the Rishonim take over here. So the Pashtus, the way that we were learning it, the Pashtus is that we're only talking about what happens after you cut down these netiot. And the question is, over there, do they become automatically non-Kodesh? Because he had said that you no longer have pidyon. So the question is, what does that mean? Bar Poda said, the way we understood it yesterday, which was Ran's pshat, Bar Poda says that once they're niktzatzu, you still have to be podam, pa'amachat, and that is sufficient. Whereas Ula says, kivan sheniktzatzu, shuv ein podam. So that means that once they were cut down, then you never have to be paid to them at all. Why don't you have to be paid to them at all? Well, because you said they're only supposed to be Kodesh up to this particular time. And this time is up. So no longer you require Kiddush opinion at all. Teshuv and Podan again. And we were just in the middle of that. We asked the question right at the top of today's daf, that how is it possible for the Kedusha to simply disappear? Because that's what Ula seems to be saying. If you said that it should be Kodesh only up to the time that you cut it down, then if, in fact, you cut it down, it's not Kodesh. Would you say the same thing would be true about giving Kedushin to a woman? Would you be able to say to a woman that Hayom atishti v'lamachar ein atishti, and then she doesn't need a get because you only made her a queen for a day? Obviously not. Why obviously not is not so clear. Why obviously not? And we're going to see that the fact that he says obviously not serves today as a raya to a particular way to approach the Gemara, that the Gemara didn't even make this a possibility. Why wouldn't it be a possibility? So the Pashtus is because in the same way that there is no possible way to give a get for a day, because the nature of the get is that it's a sefer kritut. So you can't give a get and say, okay, today you are megureshet, but tomorrow you're going to be married again. You can't take up a marriage once it's been broken by a sefer kritut. Since it says v'yatzava haita, then the same thing should be true about kedushin. So it would be given that having once instated the state of marriage, you can't change that. So wouldn't that be the same as over here, where you said that it should be Kodesh? So then how could the Kedusha simply disappear? And that's called that Ein Kedusha Poka Bichdi. So that's where we were up to yesterday. And Rava had said to Rava, no, we'll say this again. So this was a question on Ula. How does Ula think that things just disappear all on their own? So, Omar le Rava, mikom edamita kedushas domim le kedushas haguf, obviously the kedusha of a woman changes her personal state. It has nothing to do with just her value. You can't be mekadesh a woman kedusha's dummy. And therefore, there's no comparison. Where you're talking about kedushas damim, which is what we're talking about when we deal with these trees can't be brought on the mizbeach, can they? So they're a kedushas damim. But kedushas haguf cannot be poka bichti. And therefore, there's no kashanula. This seems to be a rather silly kind of question. So here's today's Gemara, and then we'll see now the new possibilities over here. Omer le Abaye, is that true? Are you trying to tell me that kedushat haguf lo paka bichdi? Now, the question is how far Abaye means to go with this. So does Abaye mean that he actually is wrong about the comparison and that, in fact, a woman could be mekudeshet hayom and not tomorrow? Because, I mean, he seems to be arguing on the entire idea. So again, there are, says the Ran, I mean, look, there's no 100% proof that that isn't what Abaye is saying, but the fact that the Gemara just took it so much for granted that nobody even discusses it. I mean, are you crazy? Are you going to say that you can make a woman your wife for a day? Nobody would say that. I mean, is that what Abaye is saying? Highly unlikely, says the Ran. So therefore, what Abaye is actually trying to say is that, look, the issue over here is not the difference between Kedusha Guf and Kedusha Domim. What we're talking about over here is that I certainly agree with the essential idea. I just think that you're saying it wrongly. I don't think the difference is between Kedusha Domim and Kedusha Guf. I think that there's a fundamental difference between the concept of Kedusha and the concept of a Kedusha to the Beis HaMikdash. Because Kedusha Beis HaMikdash incorporates a wide variety of interrelated chiyuvim to the Beis HaMikdash. So there is a chiyuv on the damim, and sometimes it's only limited to the damim. The extension of the halacha in Kachim to a Kedusha's haguf is a increased level of a chalos on the object, but it's similar in essence to the idea of Kedushas Damim. It's only a question of how much does Hekdesh own? Does Hekdesh actually own the value, or is it Hekdesh owns the actual item, which gives it the dinim of Gavoa, so it has a Kedusha to it. But when you're talking about Kedushin of Anisha, you are not talking about ownership, really. And there's no concept of Kedushas Domim when it comes to Anisha. And therefore, the extended concept of Kedushin is not an extended concept of the type of ownership that has this idea of simply being able to extend over the actual body of the thing. It's much more than that. And it's a different type of state. So this is how the Ran understands it. That Abaye is saying, look, the question from an Isha, that's irrelevant. The point is that you shouldn't have even raised that. But the way that you raised it is just entirely wrong, because it isn't even true. The halacha is that Kedushas HaGuf of the sort of Kachim certainly is also Paka Bichdi, as I'm about to show you. Masha Inkein Kedusha Isha is a completely different type of a level, even though we use the word kedushin, it certainly doesn't mean an extended type of ownership in the body. It means a change in the halachic status. Okay, so therefore, Taina's Abaye, you may be right about Kedusha Isha, fine. But I just want you to know, by the way, that the Ran does say, look, I don't know, I'm going to prove it. It's certainly possible, but Abaye is attacking the underlying assumption that you can't make a woman your wife for a day. But it's very unlikely. So this is the preferred pshat in the Ran. Omer le Abaye, is it true? What you're saying isn't even true. Kedushas HaGuf lo paka bichdi. I mean, let me show you a case, okay? V'atanya, shor ze ola kol shloshim yom. I want this animal to be a korban ola for the next 30 days. And after 30 days, I want it to be a shlamim. Okay, so then if he shechs it during the next 30 days, it's an ayla. Kol shloshim yom, ola. Le'achar shloshim yom. It's a shlamim. So if he brings it to the Mizbeach after 30 days, so then it's a shlomim. How can it, I don't understand. The Kedushas Ola is Kutche Kutch. So it's a higher level of Kedusha. All of the dinim of Kutche Kutche. And now you're telling me that all of that additional Kedusha disappeared into thin air. But that's called Poka Bichdi. That means disappearing into thin air. How in the world did it disappear into thin air, according to you? Pamai? Why would it possibly be a shlomim after it was already an oila? Kedushat aguf, you know, upaka bichdi. You said that's not possible. And here I'm showing you that disappearing into thin air, there went the kedushas oila. Well, that's a good point, says Rava, but what does that have to do with this brisa? Who said that the brisa is talking about that there was a kedushas aguf? Maybe what it's talking about, not that he said that this sure itself is kodesh to be an oila, and if I shecht it, it should be an oila. It's talking about over here that he made it kodesh to the mizbeach for its value, but not as its goof. Now the halacha is that if you do such a thing and you try to give a behemah that is a tmima and ruuya lemizbeach just for domim, it automatically becomes kodesh kedushas haguf. Which, by the way, is an additional insight into what the Ran was saying is the difference between Kachim and Kedushas Isha. Because if there really is no connection between Kedushas Haguf and Kedushas Domim, why would that be true? Why do we say that the halacha is that if you give something's value to the Mizbeach and it itself is roi for the Mizbeach, so then the halacha is Eina Yotze Mide Mizbeach Lioilam. It can't be released from the Mizbeach. It gets a Kedushas Haguf, and you must be paid at it. Of course, the problem is you can't be paid at it unless it gets a mum if it has Kedushas Haguf. All true. But why? So what it certainly seems to imply is that the dinim of Kedushas Haguf have to do with the fact that Hegdish owns this. So once I own it, then that's what I do as Hegdash. The ownership of Hegdash conveys that state. It's not that I need to create a new state. Okay, if that's the case, then there's no connection between that and Kedushas Isha, because there is no concept whatsoever of ownership of the actual monetary value of a woman. Doesn't exist. It's not part of Kedushin. There's no way to do such a thing. The only time that we have monetary ownership of anything is with an Eved Kanani, right? Or a Shivcha Kanani. Okay, so this is very much part of it. This was part, interesting. That is, I think it was in this week's Parsha or last week's Parsha, I wrote an essay about this, I think, about the difference between the ownership of a woman in terms of Kedusha and the kind general concept of ownership. I think that was last week. So this is Mamish the Sugya of a year, according to the Ran. And so the problem is, if we're trying to answer that Rava understands the Braita not as a case of Kedushas Haguf being Poka Bichdi, then he has to explain that we're talking about Kedushas Domim, but then the problem is, if we're talking about Kedushas Domim, it automatically becomes Kedushas Haguf if he gave it to the Mizbeach. So therefore, L'chora, what we would have to say in this case, is, which is what the Rishonim point out, is that what we're talking about over here? The Ran speaks out the Farish, among others, that of course what we'd have to be saying is that he was paid at it. That's what it means. Not that it just disappears on its own. And therefore, since over here was a Balmum, oh, so then it's talking about Kedushas Domim. Okay, so then if that's the case, so then Bar Pada could always say, yeah, well, naturally, he was paid it, according to Bar Pada. And therefore, there would be no problem over here the way that Rava understood it. Okay, fine. So, Chamazkinan, the Armala Dami. So, therefore, the Eila, Kedushas Eila, disappears into thin air, which is called Poka Bichdi. I know what Gavi is today, but I hope that these things will be written down. I don't know. I feel sort of bad that I started giving other people this writing down. I used to do it myself and sent it to you. Maybe that should be reinstated here. Okay. So we're talking about that. It was only Kedushas Domim, but according to Rava, Kedushas Haguf I still hold, says Rav, will not be Pokabichti. Okay, says the Gemara. That's very interesting, because then you're going to have a tough time explaining the Braita. Because read ahead, and you'll see that that doesn't make any sense. Yochi Ema Sefer. You're saying that the idea here, the guy said, for the next 30 days, it's an Eila, and then after that, it's a Shlomim. It's talking about where he was Magdashit, Kedushas Domim. Okay, I'm ready to entertain that possibility. Now, explain to me the next piece of the Braita. The next piece of the Braita seems to be saying basically the same thing. Next piece of the Braita says that if he says it the other way around, so he says after 30 days, and he says it in the other, first saying what's going to be L'Achar Shloshim Yom. So he says, well, L'Achar Shloshim Yom, it should be an Eila. And now it should be a Shlomim. Okay. And it says over there that it would be exactly as he said, that that's the din, that L'Achar Shloshim Yom, it is an Eila, but meanwhile, it's a Shlomim. And the Kedusha of the Shlomim is now gone, and it becomes an Eila. Now, explain to me what exactly is the point of this last piece. I mean, it's basically telling me the same thing as the other one said. So, Iyamrit Bishlama, look, I mean, obviously, if you're going to tell me that if something was first an Eila, that then it could lose its Kedushas Eila and become a Shlomim, it's a little bit absurd to have to tell me that if something was first a Shlomim, that then it can become an Eila. Because, I mean, an Eila is just an additional level of Kedusha over Shlomim, right? So I said, well, obviously, if I'm able to take off the Kedusha's Eila, turn something into a Shlomim, then certainly I'm able to take off the Kedusha, because I don't need to take off the Kedusha of a Shlomim. If I'm making the animal an Eila, I'm adding to the Kedusha of Shlomim. I could say that, which means that there's absolutely no point in saying this second part of the Braita the way you say it. So what's it all about? Now, I have a suggestion as to what it's all about. Here's my suggestion. The first part was talking about Kedushas Domim, like Rava was trying to say. And the second part is telling me that this is true even in a case of Kedushas Haguf. That's the point, and that would explain why the Tana has to restate the case in the Sefer. Haino didzikli l'Tana l'mitne tarte. Why? Because you would have thought, if you only had had the first part of the Brightness, you would have said, ah, I know what, it must be talking about Kedushas Domim and not Kedushas Haguf. Exactly like Rava was trying to tell us. He was trying to claim that that's the point over here. But he's wrong, because that's the reason why we need the Sefer. So if we only had the first part, I would have thought that this only is about Kedushas Domim, but Kedushat Haguf would certainly not simply disappear into thin air, lo paka bichdi, but Kedushas Domim is paka bichdi. Therefore, the Braita has to tell me two separate cases. One, so that I can understand, is talking about Domim, the way that Rava explained it, and the other one that's talking about what even Kedushas Haguf would be exactly the same thing. But if you're going to try to tell me that both of them are talking about Kedushas Domim, what would be the point of the Sefer? It makes no sense. Because, I mean, isn't the Sefer obvious? If Hashta Yesh Lomar, that the Kedusha Chamura, the Kedusha Kala is Paka. If you're ready to tell me that even a Kedusha's Eila, that we have to get rid of the Kedusha's Eila in order to make it only a Kedusha Shlomim, which is Kachim Kalim. And remember that Kachim Kalim can be eaten by everyone, as doesn't have dinim of Me'ila except on the parts that go on the Mizbeach. It doesn't need Shrita B'Tzofen. And so on and so forth. I mean, it's in many, many ways a Kedusha Kala. So if even in the case where first we have a Kedusha Chamura, namely the Kedushas Eila, and we get rid of that into thin air, and it just turns into a Kedusha of a Shlomim. So Kol Shekin, the other way around, Mi Kedusha Kala, Le Kedusha Chamura, if I'm going to try to add Kedusha to a Kedusha Shlomim, and now make it Kachim Kachim, do I really need to repeat that? Obviously, that would work. Tzricha l'meimar? So that makes no sense at all. Therefore, the Braita is saying two things. that Kedushas Damim is Paka Bichdi, and Kedushas Haguf is also Paka Bichdi. And therefore, I don't understand what you were making such a big fuss about. Now, I mean, this doesn't mean that I'm going back to saying that I have the taina that it should be like Kedushas Isha. That's a different issue, because there are two completely different things when it comes to Kedushas Isha as opposed to the case over here where we're talking about the trees or the talis. That's very different. Okay, so because of that, we really don't have any connection to the kasha that we originally asked. So now, since we have these two cases, it's clear that Rava was wrong and that Kochim can actually be Paka Bichdi. So now, if that's true, so Lemetavit Yuftir Bar Pada, so then, wait a second. Now, this means that we have a Brisa saying exactly the opposite of Bar Pada, right? Remember, Bar Pada says, after you cut down the tree, you need to do one last pidyon, because otherwise the Kedusha is not going to disappear on its own. And over here it says, Beferish. It absolutely will. So you see from here, the Kedusha is Paka Bichdi. Why isn't that a direct contradiction of Bar Pada? So how do you explain it? Omer of Papa, forget about the Brisa with Bar Pada. Bar Pada can tell you a completely different and very, very brilliant explanation of this Brisa. What Bar Pada will say is that the point in the Brisa is not that it's actually going to become an Eila. What the Brisa is saying is that im lo amar mi achshav shlamim, then le'achar shloshim yom ola havi. The point of the Brisa is to teach me many, many chidushim. And the chidushim are that in actuality, what the Brisa is saying is that it would have been, it should have been an Eila, but it's not going to be an Eila. So what it's saying is, im lo amar mi'achshav shlamim, then li'achar shloshim yom, it would have been an Eila. Midei dehavi ha'omer l'isha hiskachi li'achar shloshim yom de mikudeshet. So what we have over here is the Reisha is exactly as you said. We're talking about Kedushas Domim. There's no problem to Bar Pada, obviously, be Kedushas Domim, because it could be talking about that you were Poda. But the Seifa is to be understood in a completely different way. That when the guy says, Li'achar Shloshim Yom, it should be an Eila. U'me'achshav Shlamim, then the word la'achar shloshim yom tehe ola means it would have been an ola if he hadn't messed it up by saying mi'achshav shlomim. So now it's telling us a lot of very important things by teaching us in that strange fashion. So first of all, it's teaching us that if a guy would have said, let the kedusha of the ola be chal after 30 days, it would be chal after 30 days. And you should not think that, well, I don't understand. If it's not going to be chal now, what makes it be chal in 30 days? I mean, I understand that when you do something and that something is still around for later and so on, yeah, okay, you can make a kinyan, give a shtar, and say that the shtar should take effect in 30 days. That doesn't bother me. But over here, essentially, what we're dealing with is a neder. Isn't that true? We just said it should be kadosh. That's nidrei hagdash. Well, the neder disappears into thin air. Where are the words that make the thing kadosh at that time? So I would have thought that in such a case, you cannot make something chal after a certain amount of time. Either it is chal or it isn't chal. So that's one chiddush, that even words alone can make something bichal later on. But furthermore, it's teaching us that if he hadn't said me'achshav shlamim, then and only then is it an oila after 30 days. But once he makes it a shlamim, then it's not going to be an ela after 30 days. So now this, first of all, this teaches us that Kedushas HaGuf is lo paka b'chdi. In other words, once you give a definition of something that has a Kedushas HaGuf, like Shlomim, it can't disappear. So it's exactly the opposite. Since it's saying it in this fashion, it's as if it said, the only thing that prevents this from being an Oila after 30 days is the fact that currently you made it a Shlomim. If it hadn't been for that, there would have been no problem. Ah, but meanwhile, you see that since I did make it a Shlomim, it cannot be an Oila after 30 days. Okay, then it's coming to teach us the exact opposite of what you thought. And it's Bedavka in this fashion because it's a bigger Kiddush like this, you see? Because I would have thought that if I made it a Shlomim and all I want to do is make it an Oila after 30 days, so I'm only adding the Kiddush of the Oila to the Kiddush of the Shlomim, that's not called Poka Bichdi. Therefore, it says it in this direction, tell me, even if it was the Shlomim that got in the way of the Oila is never going to be able to be Chal. Because once a Shlomim, always a Shlomim, and you cannot change that. So not only have I learned from this that the din is that you can make Kedusha le'achash lo shemyom, and not only have I learned from this that Kedushas had the case of Kedushas haguf is lo paka bichdi, but I also learned from it that the tosefet of additional Kedusha of a Kedushas oila on a Kedusha Shlomim is not viewed as a Tosefet. It's a change. You would have to take off the Kedusha Shlomim. There's no way I could do it. And therefore, having once made it a Kedusha Shlomim, it never is going to be able to come an Oila. That's why it says the opposite of the case in the Reisha. You see how beautiful the way that Barpoet is explaining it is. Don't you see that the whole point of the Braita is the inversion of everything? And then Ibedavka made the Shlomim come first and the Oila come afterwards. You don't think that that's significant? That's the whole point, says Bar Pada. It's coming to tell me a bunch of Kedushim. Okay, so first of all, it teaches us, as I said, that Kedusha Guf is like Baka Bechti. Secondly, it teaches us that the din would be that a Kedusha is even if it's a Kedusha Kala. Okay, now, furthermore, it says it in a funny way because it also changed what he said first. First, he said in this case, Alacha Shlomim Yom Eila. Then he said, now it should be Shlomim. In the Reisha, he did it the other way around, right? He said, first, okay, for the next 30 days, let it be an Eila. After that, let it be a Shlomim. Why did it have to invert that? I mean, why didn't it just invert the, because there's another issue over here, you see, because the question over here is that in the event that he said, this should be a Shlomim for 30 days, and then he would have said, "And well, if you said it's going to be a Shlomim for 30 days, it can't become an Oila," I would have said, yes, that's true, because once a Shlomim, always a Shlomim. So the idea is there's a concept, again, Moshe Forman, you're going to have to take your Gavi's place here. Never mind. Connecting to audio. Good grief. Okay, so there's a concept called, another concept called, write this down, Moshe, another concept called Kedusha Mitpashetet. Kedusha Mitpashetet means that there's an idea that once something has grounds for Kedusha, it spreads. Fine. This covers a lot of issues in Kachim, Mitpashetet, Pekula. Here, we're using it in the sense of, I would have thought, that the Shlomim, the Kedusha of the Shlomim spreads in both the object and in the time, having once been Kedusha Shlomim. So now it covers forever. You said it should be a Shlomim. So what are you going to do now? You're going to change your mind and say it's not a Shlomim. But if you started first by saying after 30 days, it's an Oila. So now if you make it now a Shlomim, it tries to be mitpashet in time, but it hits the Oila after 30 days. So I would have said that in the event that you first had already set it up, that in 30 days it's going to be an Oila, then the fact that I make it a Shlomim after I do that is not going to prevent the Oila to be Chal in 30 days, you see? So even that is brilliantly necessary. So Bar Pada's understanding of the Braisa is beautiful. It's not dochuk, it's ingenious. then therefore every last part of the Braita is telling us a brand new Chiddush, and that is amazing. So this is exactly what the Chiddush is going to be all about. Yes. Okay. Therefore, this has absolutely nothing to do with the questions that we were asking before. Now, the question is, asks the Gemara, but then if that's the case, isn't it Pshita? In other words, if you're telling me that this is no, the Chiddush that you said about the 30 days delay in the Chalois of the Din of an Eila, I mean, we know that already, don't we? We know that the halacha is that a woman can be mekudeshet if you give her the kinyan now, that the woman is mekudeshet later. So why isn't this a dover that's parsha?
Could Rebbe address the nisachlu hamos? What is that factor?
I will get to it. I will get to it. Let me present it as I want to, right? The question, as you recall, the way that we presented lechatchila is that I would have thought that when it comes to the kedusha of an isha, the halacha is that after 30 days, the kedushin can be chal, and that therefore the same thing would be true about the kochim. We explained that. No, I would never have thought that, because I understand that by a woman, there is something that you do that creates the kinyan. Masha Einkein, when it comes to the kachim, all you have is the words that you said. And if the words that you've said have disappeared into thin air, they weren't able to make something Kurdish at the time. How did they make something Kurdish later? That was the way that we originally understood the question. That's how the Ram explained the question in the Gemara. The problem is that now, if we can find that what it is that you do for the woman disappears in the same way that your netter disappears, then it should be the same. So I'll ask you, suppose I give a woman a ring and I say, okay, you should be mekudeshes to me with this ring after 30 days. And she loses the ring during the next 30 days. There's no more ring. Can she be mitkadesha based on a ring that no longer exists? The halacha is that yes, afapish nitachlu ama'od. So even though the ring doesn't exist, then that would mean that this concept of disappearing into thin air when the person makes the neder is no different than the ring disappearing into thin air. So if in the case of the woman, I would still know from a Sechet Kedushin that the Kinyan helped for Liach HaShloshim, why is it such a Chiddush to tell me that the neder that disappeared into thin air helps Liach HaShloshim? That's the point. So in this case, then maybe there is no Chiddush whatsoever, because it would be exactly the same as the woman, right? Now, it isn't really the same. And in fact, it seems to be a completely different issue. Because the truth is that when you give the woman the money, that money creates the kinyan in her, because as the Gemara puts it in Masechet Kedushin. Well, I don't understand. What happened to that money? It's not a loan. It wasn't given to her as a loan. It wasn't given to her as a shmirav, an object for him, was it? As a pikadon. It was given to her. So then what that means is that the kinyan actually took place, except it takes place on later. But over here, what does that have to do with Nedarim? Nothing at all is created as a change in the object in terms of its Kedusha by my saying, in another 30 days, it should become Kodesh. And then what makes it Kodesh in another 30 days? So that is still something that makes no sense. And the Ran says that the truth is that this Gemara is very misleading. It is not Pshita, not in the least Pshita. The only reason that the Gemara calls it Pshita is because, as we're going to see in a moment, every neder of Hegdash is an actual physical kinyan, which is an amazing concept. Moshe Forman, you're taking Gavi's place. An amazing concept, which is called Amirato Legavoa. Just saying something to Hegdash, Kemisirato Lehedyot, is the equivalent of picking it up and handing it over as a kinyan to a non-Hegdash situation. The Gemara, says the Ran, actually was being samech on that concept now when it asks pshita. And it took that for granted, and it's only going to speak it out as we go along for the next few lines. But in fact, what we're learning over here are some extremely important issues that are extensions of what we've been looking for in this perek. Remember that the question of this perek, in many, many ways, as we've raised it, has been to understand what the nature of the simple das of a person is in terms of things that are expressed in his words. And therefore, it was very nogea, the entire concept of Arba Nedarim Itiru Chachamim. The Arba Nedarim Itiru Chachamim are the place in the Masechet where we analyze the meaning of words in terms of their underlying connection to your intent. It's where we clarify what the idea of Pivuli Baishavim means. It's where we see what that has to do with the general concept of Esmachta, of Kinyonim to other people, of even giving Gittin, and now in terms of Kiddushin. This is not coincidental that we're bringing up all of these other cases. They're all a deeper understanding of what do words mean contextually, what do they mean in terms of what the person claims is his intent, what do they mean in terms of accidents, errors, duress. All of these are the issues exactly of the Arba Nedarim. So therefore, when we're talking over here of Nidrei Hekdesh, which is really, according to the Rosh, remember, and other Rishonim, the entire basis of Nidrei Yisr. And even if you hold it isn't the entire basis of Nidrei, it's the entire basis of the concept of Nidrei Yisr, even according to the Ran. Because obviously, I can't just say something is Osir as if it's a piece of Chazer. Everybody agrees to that. So the underlying reality is that our ability to define clearly what happens when a person makes something Hekdesh ultimately is going to touch upon the question of what happens when a person makes something a Neder. And remember that I mentioned to you yesterday that this is why, according to the Ran, it was important to work out the Gemara as not even talking about Hekdesh, but really talking about Nedarim and showing us how the Dinim of Hekdesh defined the Dinim of Nedarim, so that the Mishnah would have been talking about Pidyon in terms of the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, who holds that a Konam has the Din of Me'ilah, and that the Pidyon is Nogea Me'ilah. So if I say something, this is Usar on everybody. My house is Usar on everybody. So if anybody would use the house, he would be Chayav Me'ilah to Hekdesh, even though it wasn't given to Hekdesh. This is mind-boggling. So then that means that the Isser and the idea of the very fact that I have that level of commitment to Hekdesh means that it's the equivalent of a full Kinyan. That is unbelievable. Now, as the Ran points out, it's even worse than that. Because even if you were Mesirato Lehedyot, that's not going to answer the problems that we have, as we're about to see. And therefore, the Gemara is telling us something more about Hekdesh than would normally be true, even about Kinyonim. And remember, we talked about Kinyonim in terms of Kinyonim in front of a Bezdin or a Bezdin Choshev that have a right to be Mafkir Momon, even those issues, and what it would mean in giving something over to escrow in terms of a Bezdin Choshev, Bima Vimavata Zechus, in a Bezdin Choshev, all of these inyonim that seem to be, well, what's this doing here? These are Bab Metzia issues. These are Sanhedrin issues. Not true. Ultimately, they are Nedarim issues, which is why so much of the main sugya appears here. So now let's take a look at how the Gemara is doing a little bit of a tricky thing over here. Because the Gemara knows up front that the kasha of pshita is nonsense. It isn't pshita unless you take for granted that it's the equivalent of actually giving money to a woman. And therefore, it asks pshita because what it's really trying to do, this is how the Ran understands it, what it's really trying to do is to bring you to an understanding that amira legavoa is beyond mesira to a hedya. And that's good for the chiddush of the sugya. So let's take a look how the Gemara manages this. So then, if that's the case, we're up to the words pshita. If you're telling me that we already know a concept of something being chal 30 days later. So why was it really necessary to tell me this big chiddush that the, well, it would have been an oila if he hadn't made it a shlamim? I mean, that's, well, obviously. I mean, I do understand the point, of course, Bar Prada, that it's also teaching me all these other things about the fact that if it is a shlamim, it can't become an oila. I understand that. But it's making the chiddush sound like there's a chiddush of even achar shloshim yom. Would have been, you can't say it like that if there's no chiddush in that, can you? You can't say, well, it would have been, well, of course it would have been an ayla. What you should have said was it couldn't become an ayla because it was a shlamim. That would have told me the other chiddush. But why do you put it that way? Oh, man, and you should know it would have been an ayla if it hadn't been a shlamim. Well, of course it would have been. Just like a woman, she would be married in 30 days. That's the Gemara's kasha, right? So now, says the Gemara, Zev Sopshita, the Chiddush is that he changed his mind. That's the point. So if he changed his mind, you would think that it would be exactly the same thing would be true over here. In other words, if he decided that before the Eila was Chal, I don't want it to be an Eila, no way to change your mind. If you hadn't made it a shlamim, it would have been an oila, even if you changed your mind. And that's the chiddush. Now, wait a minute. And what about a woman who changes her mind? I mean, that's a big machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Can a woman change her mind? So if you hold that there is a halacha that she can be chozeret, so wouldn't that be the same as this? We've been comparing it all along to the question of Kiddushei Isha. Now, we're saying that it has to do with his level of commitment and involvement in the power of the Kenyan. Okay, so Hanich, I understand. The bright, according to Bar Prada, is coming to tell me that the man who made it an Eila cannot change his mind. The only thing that prevented it from becoming an Eila is the fact that Petoch Kedei Dibur, he said it should be a shlamim from now, right? But that's only true according to the Mandi Omar, who says that a woman cannot change her mind. She accepted the ring. Now she comes 2 weeks later. She says, you know what? I want this engagement off. Here, take your ring back. Says, this is not an engagement, honey. This is a marriage. It's just a delayed marriage. You can't call off a marriage. Okay, that's a machlokas. Can she be chozeret or not? So that's a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, if at the time that the kinyan was meant to be chal, she no longer has a das to be makna herself, so then the kinyan cannot be chal later. Reish Lakish says the kinyan is over. So then if that's the case, Reish Lakish can say, okay, the same thing is true over here. The guy said it should be an oila. Too late to change your mind. But in the case that you're holding like Rabbi Yochanan, it's not too late to change your mind. So the woman can change her mind. Why can't he change his mind? Answers the Gemara, because even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says over there, the woman can change her mind, he cannot change his mind. So why? Because just saying that something should be Hegdesh is the equivalent of actually giving it over to that person. So Amiratola Gavoa, Kemisiratola Hedyot, and therefore everybody would agree that that's the case. Now, the problem is over here, as the Ron points out, this doesn't make any sense. Because let's say that you actually did a Kenyan to somebody, right? And you said that it's going to be Chal La'achar Shloshim Yom. The bottom line is that it's not in my rishus yet, right? Because you're saying the kinyan should only be later. There was no das makna. So if I'm giving it over, I actually gave it over to the guy. And now he says, you know what? I changed my mind. I don't want to be kinyan. You keep it. He can do that. Why should he not be able to do that? He doesn't have to allow the kinyan to be chal. Achar shloshim. So even if you're going to tell me that the fact that I said this should be Kodesh and it should be an Oila in 30 days, why is that going to be better than Misirat Ola Hedyot? And therefore, it must be says the Ran, that that's the whole point of the Chiddush. That in the event, let's imagine a case like this. You would have given somebody over that which he was going to be kaina, and you say to him, listen, I'm giving this to you now, and the kinyan will be chal in 30 days when I get the bank transfer, but it will be chal from now. You say the word me'achshav. If you say it should be chal from now, then there's no way that the person in the interim, so he remains in a quantum state over here of entanglement until his money arrives. He is basically himself in an indeterminate state. It doesn't matter to us what he says because he's currently caught in a time warp, basically. If the transfer takes place, then he already was the owner. So how can he change his mind? Therefore, the same thing is what the Gemara is coming to be saying is true over here, says the Ran, is that the idea of the das of somebody who is magdish something is the equivalent of someone who is saying me'ata. And that's how it works, me'achshav. And because of that, that's the whole point of the Brisa, in which case it's even more brilliant than we thought it was. Because the Brisa is taking into consideration all of these amazing chidushim. That first of all, you should know it would become an oila and there's no way for the guy to change his mind. Ah, you didn't say anything about me'achshav. That's the understanding of the nature of Hagadosh. And that becomes our understanding of what kona means, therefore. Because I'm relating it to the way that I would have been magdish something. Therefore, it turns out that we've learned all of these various chidushim out of that one simple brighter addition in the Sefer that has forced us to recognize all of these differences. A, you can make something in oil in 30 days, and you will not be able to get out of it. There's no way to change your mind, and it is not similar to Kedusha Zisha. It's even more powerful because every Kedusha that you make is the equivalent of Mesira with the additional statement of Me'achsha. Secondly, there is no way for Kedushas HaGuf to be Paka, even if it's a lower level Kedusha, such as a Shlomim to become an Eila. It cannot happen if it's Kedushas HaGuf. Thirdly, not only in the event that first you made it a Shlomim, can it not be Paka, but even if at the time that you made it a Shlomim, it was already destined to be an Eila because you said Me'achshav, it still is going to prevent the chalos of the oila. So that's why we had to invert even the order of how this takes place. And we don't say that the kedusha of the shlomim is simply mitpashetet and therefore prevents the oila from being chal. Even if the oila came first, the shlomim will prevent it from being chal, despite the fact that we're claiming that now it's the equivalent. You see how the two interrelate? Despite the fact that the opening statement made it the equivalent of this quantum indeterminacy, and therefore you would say, okay, but then the Shlomim should discover that it doesn't belong there because now it became an Eila. No, not true. It's docha completely the possibility of the carbon becoming an Eila at all. All of these chedushim are now, interrelated chedushim, are now included in the simple inversion of all of the issues that we did in the Reisha of the Braita. And that means that meanwhile, in the context of this entire sugya over here, we have learned the most amazing types of chidushim about the general das of a person when it comes to kinyanim, when it comes to making hegdesh, when it comes to making kedushas isha, when it comes to giving a get, what is meant by a tnai, what is meant by an esmachta, how much is a level of commitment when your own rights are up in the air, what's the level of how much you have to speak it out when you're worried about protecting others as protecting yourself. You understand how rich a couple of short dafim in the Dharim are, b'nogeya, all of the issues around Shas that have to do with the concept of Nidre Onasin. And Dafka, the most powerful, is the fifth tag-along level of the Arba Nedarim, which isn't technically speaking the same as we spoke out. Technically, it's not the same as the other Arba Nedarim. And it's only coming to clarify the specific issue of Dvarim Shebalev Enam Dvarim Benogei Nedarim. Not that ipso facto Nedarim means something else. And not all the other issues of speech that have to do with hyperbole or context. No. a completely different point is raised by that fifth level. That turns out to be even the most richest.